I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
Today we witness the most evil and heinous abuse of power in the history of our country. Very sad thing to watch. A corrupt sitting president had his top political opponent arrested on fake and fabricated charges, of which he and numerous other presidents would be guilty. Right in the middle of a presidential election in which he is losing very badly.
Well, so yesterday the circus kicked off. It had been going for a little bit. Let me be real. It's been going for a little bit with the announcement of these charges and everything that came with it. And then we have the arraignment, which we saw yesterday. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this first hour. And I think like the craziest part of this, the arraignment and everything else, is finished. I mean, well, for, because it's going to be a long time before this goes to trial. And I have more information about that we'll talk about today. But it is going to be a little bit. And we'll get into some of that. We also have some of the latest with the Bidens and everything else, well, all of that stuff. But yeah, the circus was yesterday. It was official. And I will say everybody was really well behaved outside the courthouse. Although I do think that there were some exaggerations as to how many people were or were not there. It just, you can't trust anything from anybody. You can't. It's just, you just can't. So welcome to the show. We're going to dive into everything, get you up to speed with everything that you need to know. And we're also going to get you set up with some of the stuff that's been happening in the House, because they moved a bunch of stuff yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. One of those things was the pistol brace, that pistol brace rule. If you follow me, or if you subscribe on Substack, you've seen some of that information. I sent it out to you, but I was watching a number of those bills. We got to keep you up to speed with what's happening in D.C. I know everybody's watching the primaries and the indictments and everything else, but this is also incredibly important stuff that you need to know. So we'll get you set up with that. All right. So first and foremost, no, this is not going to be a fast trial. And I know his counsel, I know the president's counsel says that that's what they're aiming for, but it is this very slow walk-in process. The whole procedure, you know, everything with regards to the processes and the speed through which this is going to go through the system, it's going to be a slow thing, which is going to be frustrating for a lot of people, because I think Andy McCarthy yesterday was right. I think this is going to time out right before it's going to come on. What a fecal storm. A fecal NATO, you could say. I mean, that's kind of, So that's that. And then remember what we were talking about just last week with the debt ceiling and a lot of the stuff, including the 1 year, I don't want to say sabbatical, the 1 year respite that you're getting from the increase in IRS, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is going to hit the fan at the exact same time. Fun stuff, guys. Super fun stuff. I know we're all super excited. That's going to be a very, take your vacations now. Take them now. You're going to need them, because you're going to be so burned out by the time the election actually hits. And that's the point. They want you burned out. They want you burned out totally. So the timeline for this, it's a lot of things to consider, because you have the period of discovery, which I think is going to take the longest. Trump's team thinks that could at minimum take a year. So that's why just they can't say that it's going to be a speedy trial because they know that this is going to take just discovery alone is going to take a year. So that means they're going to be requesting all emails, texts. They're going to be combing over everything. It's going to go back and forth. There's going to be a ton of leaks. There are going to be a ton of leaks. That's what you can expect in the next year. That's how this is going to roll out. And so they can also, I mean, technically, if this, you know, if it, because it's a criminal case, you can demand something, you know, like within a month or a little over a month, but they're going to take a lot of time for this. And because one conviction on one charge is a serious, that, I mean, the penalty is super serious. So they're going to take their sweet time on this. But the charges, you know, themselves, that's going to be, I was thinking about this yesterday, for the state to, or for the feds to keep this, for this to be in Miami and not be moved to D.C., to me, that's incredibly significant because it's going to be really hard for them to get a guilty verdict, I think, in South Florida. This is going to be difficult. I mean, it's a very red area. You're talking about picking, you know, from a pool of people that I mean, they've more than likely voted Republican, or they were so motivated against Democrat abuse of federal authority that they decided they were going to vote Republican. So it's a no win for them. I mean, no matter what, it's a no win, no win situation. And so with this location of the case being in Miami, if they get a conviction on that in Southern Florida, in that court, to me, that's kind of significant. But we're going to watch and see. Nobody knows what's going to happen. No, who knows what's going to happen with the discovery process? Nobody knows. But man, I can't wait for some of the leaks to come out about the federal government. Can you imagine? Because they're going to have to, if you believe that they will, they're going to have to release everything. And you know there's going to be leaks of that. So we're going to continue following. We'll follow it. He said one of the things that Trump said, he's going to appoint a special prosecutor. He spoke yesterday. I thought it was smart that he went to a Cuban cafe. He went to Versailles. It's a real famous Cuban cafe in Miami. He went to that cafe and told everybody he's going to. That was a smart move. Because it guaranteed to get press. It reached out to your base there. That was a smart move that he made. And then he went to Bedminster, and then he spoke for a little bit, and then that was it. Now, he can't, from what I understand, he can't speak to his valet or anything. I think he actually is, in terms of who all he can speak to involved in this case. I was looking at my notes on this. I think he's actually gagged on that. But he said that he would appoint a special prosecutor to go after the Biden family. Okay, to me, that sounds familiar, because you're going to get mad at me, but he did say he was going to lock her up, and then he didn't. I had people get mad at me because I said that. I'm like, let this be a lesson. Always have more. Yes, mercy is great in life, but in politics, it's a liability. And your political opponents never, ever, ever, in terms of in the realm of politics, have mercy for people who will never have mercy for you. And this is what he said in his speech, his remarks yesterday, the special prosecutor. This is audio sung by 10. Listen.
But the seal is now broken. In addition to closing the border and removing all of the criminal elements that have illegally invaded our country, making America energy independent and even dominant again, and immediately ending the war between Russia and Ukraine, I'll have it ended in 24 hours. I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the United States of America, Joe Biden.
Now, see, I want him to have I want him to do that. But I said this when I said this on Instagram, some people got mad at me. Can we just stop for a second and everybody get their collective heads together? Pointing out something, whether it's a flaw in strategy or a flaw in something else, is not a reflection on the overall sentiment of the person about whom you are pointing out the flaw in strategy. We're smarter than this. I get really pissed off when I see some of the people on my side who are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. Well, he said he was going to lock her up. How dare you, you traitorous bitch. I've had people tell me that. No, I've literally had people tell me that. With quote unquote patriots like those, we'd have the damn queen on our money. Some of those people who say that stuff, I never saw them in the streets when I was out there doing the work y'all should have been doing. I get aggravated about that because it's like, okay, do you want him to lose? And then I wonder, are they actual plants? because people who don't want to recognize mistakes and they want to keep going and doing the same old, you're going to keep getting the same results. I actually had people tell me that, though. I'm like, well, he did. And that was a mistake that he made because he was saying he didn't want to, he was trying to show them mercy. You can't show the Clintons mercy. They're the Clintons. He should have locked her up. Should have. I mean, you can't tell me that there's nothing they could have gotten her on. I mean, some of my meanest legal friends are like, well, you know, there's something there. But he chose not to do it. Maybe it was because he was looking to bring peace to, you know, after a general election, you can say, but he didn't. And look what happened. It's like when you watch a movie and the protagonist is, you know, they're getting ready to in the movie off an opponent. And then they choose at the last minute to have some mercy and leave. And you think that's like this great character building moment. And then that person turns around and, you know, neutralizes them. This is politics. Politics is not like real life. Politics is an artificial institution of hateful people. There's no mercy in politics. There's no quarter in politics. There's no suffering fools in politics. It is bare knuckle, rhetorical, sometimes blood sport. There's no such thing as mercy. I had someone tell me, well, Dana, mercy is essential to life. That's all well and good. You know, amen. But this is politics. And if you're trying to advance your agenda, that's how you got to do it. So this is the situation we're in. I said something about this, like I said, on Instagram, and oh my gosh, some people got mad at me. And I wasn't wrong. Now, the reason I mentioned it is because no one should ever do that again. If it's not Trump who wins the Republican nomination, if it's DeSantis or somebody else, they win the Republican nomination, and if they win the White House, which it'll be either Trump or DeSantis at this point, they cannot make that mistake. It cannot be made again. And that's just the truth of it. So he says this, and I'm like, okay, that's great. I know you want to right now, but is that sentiment going to change if time cools it off for a little bit? Now, why is that important to you? Because we're dealing with it now. Can you imagine if the precedent had been set by throwing the book at them in 2016? Do you think that some of the stuff that Biden is doing now, do you think that he would have been as brazen? I kind of do wonder. If they thought for 1 second that conservatives were going to punch back, actually punch back twice as hard, do you think that they would have kept doing what they were doing? It's a real question. So this is stuff that we got to figure out. We got to be honest about this stuff, folks. I mean, I could sit here and blow smoke up your butt like some of these other people do with lower ratings. And I could sit here and tell you all the things that you want to hear. And then you'd get mad at me when it all comes to pass. You know, I'm being honest because I feel like, you know, you deserve it. And that's the nature of our relationship, even when it's tough. So that's one of the things we got to realize. Now, I saw this. I got a couple of other things to hit too. We have some major, like several major topics here. We got some of the stuff related to some of the wokery, and I hate saying that word. I'm actually kind of tired of it, but it's great branding. It's a one syllable branding. But the ongoing fallout from the White House and then that Pride Festival, and then I have a whole bunch of stuff. If you saw on Substack, the newsletter that I sent out, there's a number of other things that we have to touch on as well, including what's happening in some of the schools. Hoboken's library. Their public library, they're reading Genderqueer to minors, along with some of these other books. And they go, oh, these are banned books and we're having a banned book reading. We're talking like kids in elementary. Did you see my tweet? I didn't even want to put it in the newsletter that I sent out to you because I thought some of you, you know, you don't want to see that over your croissant in the morning. So I'm like, I'm not going to send that out. We got a lot to hit. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KeltecWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently frozen strawberries sold at Costco and Walmart are recalled over hepatitis A risks. Okay, maybe this is me being naive, but Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, how are you getting hepatitis on strawberries? How is this happening? I think you were joking with me when you told me this. They said frozen strawberries sold in 32 states at big box retailers, including Costco and Walmart, are being recalled due to fears over Hepa contamination. The tainted berries are sold under the Great Value and Raider Farms brands, distributed by the Willamette Valley Fruit of Salem, Oregon. And they said that they notified customers, or they've been notifying customers. It's the frozen sliced strawberries and the frozen mixed fruit medleys and the smoothie blends. I hate smoothies. And I hate any kind of blended fruit because it's dumb. And so I don't have any of these issues. But if you do, then there you go. I just gave you a heads up. I don't even feel like I should explain that. It's stupid. It's liquefied fruit. I'm not going to pretend I don't have teeth. So let's see. It's a true story. Kathy Hochul, her healthcare bungle, it's called the bonus bungle, could cost New York taxpayers $1.3 billion. Their taxpayers are going to get stuck with a $1.3 billion bill because the feds rejected the idea of using the Medicaid money to fund bonuses for healthcare workers, but not before some of the funds had been distributed. So she claimed the federal funding was going to cover the cost only for her administration. And then they came out with a financial plan like, oh, never mind, it's going to be more than that. They said 613,000 people have received $1.6 billion in bonuses so far. And they said it's the $1.3 billion hole over 3 years. They're a mess, an absolute mess. And we got a lot more. Starbucks is denying that they took down the Pride stuff, so they're fighting with that union on Twitter. Stay with us. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Is the Trump indictment a game of 3D chess by Democrats and the leftist media? With all of the attention on this trial, will any be left for real problems moving to 2024? How about the kitchen table issues that affect you and your family? Make sure you're paying attention. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
I think it's safe, especially right now, when you have one side that has a maximalist commitment to tearing down every norm and law they don't like. So where does that put us? And by the way, why is it happening? I think it's happening because there are some people who find it easier to pick on
brain fart.
Really vulnerable young people
brain fart.
Than to explain why they voted no on money for roads and bridges.
Okay, I want to lighten it up because it's been heavy with all the breaking news and everything the past couple of days. So that is Secretary Mayor Neumann, former, now retired, Rear Vice Admiral Emeritus of the Camp Wimpetonka Canoe Fleet. And he's there at Time Magazine in a boardroom full of themselves people. And he's explaining something about trans, but then to the roads and bridges. He is one of the dumbest people in the administration, and that is really saying a lot. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast, stream the show, watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. How is infrastructure responsibility related to the trans stuff? What? I mean, he literally, I'm reading the transcript. He said it's they're picking on vulnerable people by objecting to girls having to compete with biological males in sports, and that it's happening because there are some people who find it easier than explain why they voted no on money for roads. First off, who votes no on money for roads? Who did that? Are you talking about the federal bill that you guys were trying to do that with stuff that actually happens at the state level? But I digress. Is that what he's talking about? It's like going and yeah, it did pass. The whole stupid thing passed. What is he talking about? No. Diversity hire. Secretary Diversity hire. That's what we're calling him now. I'm done. But he makes it sound like if you did not want a boondoggle blank check, you know, fund for, I mean, really what? A lot of the stuff that they were trying to do, I mean, that's handled at state level in terms of like your non-interstate roads. But what does that have to do with trans? You voted against roads. Why do you hate the trans people? Everything is about hating trans now. If you don't do something the left wants you to do, then you must hate trans. You don't like roads and bridges. Why do you hate trans? That's what they're doing. I'm trying to understand the mental Olympics here. He was called Pothole Pete by his own constituents. So how does he reconcile that? He really was. He was called Pothole Pete when he was mayor of South Bend, Indiana. The only place where he could have ever gotten elected to anything, which is why he's moving. Wasn't he moving to Michigan? So he thinks he's got a future after this. It's so funny. Well, it's because, you know, it's easier than explain why they voted no on money for roads. Super. It's easy. Oh, my gosh. Pothole Pete. That has nothing to do with the issue. Men and women are different. I can't even believe we got to sit here and explain this stuff. His jobs are transportation. I mean, just because there's trans in transportation doesn't mean that that's like the invitation to talk about trans issues. Right? While you're supposed to be talking about your roads and you've got one job, just deal with transportation. But it says trans. The first five letters are trans. I bet, honestly, I wouldn't doubt if that's what he believes. So we were talking about I have to tell you something funny to happen on break. Because we really should, honestly, do a whole entire radio show just on as to what we do on break. So I went back to the strawberry story. Because I'm like, how? Because they had that recall of the frozen strawberries from, like, Costco and, you know, HEB and all this stuff. Because of the suspected fears of hepatitis A, whatever, contamination. And I'm like, they're frozen. How does it live if they're frozen? And then I'm like, how does it get all over there? And Kane told me one thing, and I'm like, no way. And then Lorraine's in the in Slack. She moderates the YouTube discussion. She's like, yeah, basically someone does a deuce and they don't wash their hands. Like, if you're dealing with food, how does that happen? You just go, no, stop it. You're just do that, and you go and then you handle some strawberries? How does that even happen? I can't. If I'm in a restaurant, this is what we were talking about this. If I'm in a restaurant and I see, I don't know how you guys handle this. Every now and then, ladies, gents, you're in a restroom facility at a public place. You know, usually it's a restaurant. And someone will exit after being in a stall. I'm not talking about just coming in and looking at their hair. They will exit and not wash their hands. And I asked Kane, how do you handle that situation? And Kane's like, well, I just avoid them. I turn into the human alarm. I can't deal. It is I almost have like a reflexive vomit response to that. And this is like handling berries. Like if you're Gaines, like you, I'll just say things like, "Wow, would you look at that? They just wiped their butt and now they're going out into the restaurant." I mean, I totally will do that. And I have done it. I'm because it's nasty.
Yeah, and to answer your question about Hepe, if it dies in freezing temperatures, Hepe, exposure to freezing temperatures, Hepe does not die at all. As a matter of fact, it can survive outside the body.
What a jerk.
For months.
That virus is a jerk.
So to get rid of Hepe, you have to heat something at 185 degrees Fahrenheit for 1 minute. At least,
like they can't get no cut. Like Purell where they're by the berries or something like that. Yeah,
I didn't read anything about Purell.
Oh my
gosh,
I could spend an inordinate amount of time on this discussion, but oh my gosh, I had to come back to that for a second because Lorraine she just said exactly what you did, except she was more direct. Oh my gosh! All right, so I there's a bunch of other things that I wanna make sure we're hitting on. We were just talking about the Mayor Newmom poot. Johns Hopkins University, I don't know if you saw this. They're trying to rewrite what the definition of a woman in this new glossary of terms. The Baltimore Research University's alphabet glossary. Wait, you have to have a glossary of your terms? They defined a lesbian as a non-man attracted to non-men. Yeah. And you got to say that like in a certain way. A non-man, like, oh, an anonymous man. No, a non-man. This is like some serious So I Married an Axe Murderer beat poetry. Woman. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. That was a deep dive. But you have to have a glossary. So this is legit what they said. This is seriously what it is. It says it's from their diversity and inclusion, their 1984 rewriting of bad think language. It says LGBTQ glossary. I'm going to read it as is, okay? It says lesbian, sexual orientation, a non-man attracted to non-men. While past definitions refer to lesbian as a woman who is emotionally, romantically, and or sexually attracted to other women, the updated definition includes non-binary people who may also identify with a label.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Now, okay. Yes, Steve. Thank you. Snaps. So the gay man, he's still a dude. They just say, oh, it's a man who's emotionally, romantically, sexually, affectionately, relationally attracted to other men. They don't say non-woman. They just say, oh, it's a man. It's the lesbian who is a non-man.
Non-man.
Are you a non-man or a man? I would hit someone, I think, if they asked me that.
A non-man.
It almost sounds like this is a Monty Python skit, but it's not. So you don't need a definition for man, but non-man, you need this whole, well, you're not a man. You are an absence of a man, a non-man. That's what you are. So that would be a woman. No. Mm-mm. So why is the binary thing only applicable to the females, but not the males? Golly. So it's an absence of manness. So you are a non-man. The definition was approved by this chick named Paula Neria. Oh no, not a chick. Oh no, it's a chick who. Hang on, look at this person up. This is where it gets confusing. I'm like, your stupid made-up language is dumb.
She's a non-man.
Well, it says a trans-identifying man.
So a non-man.
What is that even? It's a totally dude who's identifying as a chick. I just took one look. Yeah.
Then it's a trans woman.
I don't know.
What the?
Yeah, it's a dude.
It's a non-man.
It's a dude. So he's a dude. He's a total dude, and he was in the Navy. So here's this. This is the dude who came up with the definition. Oh my gosh. I just want to hold on to this mic thing. A dude literally redefined what women are for Johns Hopkins. So it was a man who was in the Navy and went into the Navy and then left the Navy so he could live authentically. So he's a dude who rewrote the definition of what a woman is for Johns Hopkins. A non-man. Wow. That is misogyny. Where's, now wait a minute. Where are all those old crones like Diane, what's her face? The old hip, those old second wave and third wave feminists, what are Gloria Steinem? The Gloria Steinem and, yeah, those, where are all those broads at? Like, usually, isn't it true, like, back in the day, if they so much got a whiff of misogyny, they would lose their minds and they'd all start clucking? So where are they at now? You have a dude who's literally rewriting in a medical glossary, rewriting the definition of woman as a non-man, the absence of being a man, the absence of a man. This dude who clearly looks like a dude. Approved by a dude. Golly. You know what? They, one of the things that they also discussed, and I don't, regardless of whether, you know, your feelings about gay, lesbian, whatever, there's like a big problem apparently with lesbians. Why do you have to say lesbian women? Being bullied and shamed if they won't get with transgender women, like men who are identifying as women. I did not realize that was as huge of a problem as it is. Or, well, the dudes are like, that's you're a bigot, you're a transphobe, you're a dude, you have a penis. It's not afraid of anything that you may have, it's just acknowledgement of what you do got. That's, oh my gosh, I can't. So what do we have? Birthing people, uterus havers. I mean, like, what else? Like, what else are they going to do? This is so ridiculous. I haven't even gotten to the, you know, Cartoon Network is doing this. So they have a cartoon called We Baby Bears, and they're introducing they, them pronouns in a new episode. So they're teaching your kids to talk like morons. Cartoon Network. It's a cartoon for ages 6 and up, and it's going to air Polly's New Crew. And it said that it's their old pal, Polly, the pirate captain. By the way, I have an ancestor who was hung off the coast of the Carolinas for piracy. My culture is not your costume. Polly, the pirate captain, is under the effect of a pirate curse and needs help. Here's literally one of the character's lines. You ready? I am the great Winifred. She, her, actor, what? Who talks like this? Hello, I am Dana, she, her. How are you, he, him, Kane? Oh, Dana, she, her. We're all fine. Oh, thanks, Kane, he, him. That's, we sound like villagers from Minecraft. It's so dumb. We got a lot more on the way because this is just the very beginning of some of this stuff. And then, oh, wait, they're also mad. The third wave feminists are mad because they think that dudes don't want to play as chicks in video games. And then they're also mad because women are too pretty in video games. Okay. Clearly, you've never seen Carillion in Warhammer, but okay.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
America, you are so lucky to have him as your president. I don't know anybody who really, truly works harder for you, for the American people.
So that's Ashley Biden, Joe's daughter. I almost didn't recognize her out of the shower with her dad. So she's there speaking at an event with the president. Like there was any hesitation. Like there was any doubt. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. No, it is kind of weird to have. I mean, she just is. I mean, she's a drug addict who had a diary where she talked about her sexual perversion and how she showered with her dad. And it was her diary and it was in a flop house. And then when they denied it was hers, but then they sent the FBI and Secret Service to go and get it, and they lost their minds, and they're trying to press charges against people for possessing it. But I thought it was in her diary, though. Mm-hmm. Not going to talk about that, anyone in the press? You rat bastards. They get so mad when I say it. But they're true. It's true. They're just the absolute scum of the earth. Prostitution is a more respectable profession than being a legacy member of the legacy press. I mean, because they're being honest with what the deal is there, whereas legacy press isn't. It's despicable. But still, just Can you imagine just having that, just being right there? Just let's go ahead and, yeah, we'll just go ahead and have Ashley Biden go up there and talk. That's okay. We'll just have her go up there. Okay, there you are. Are you going to get Hunter next? Maybe Hunter can talk about business deals and stuff. I don't know. So coming up in our next hour, I can't believe it's already second hour. A few things here to touch on with you. Some media, some culture. We got to get into some culture. We got to get into some of the immigration issues. The latest with what was happening in D.C. last night. House was moving a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about that and the chances of it getting through the Senate. And then, of course, the culture wars. I'm still kind of aggravated that Paul Ryan was like, I'm not a culture war guy. Maybe that's why you didn't win. Maybe that's why. So we'll see. We'll see about all of that. So we're going to dive into all of that. Also, the some of the latest, anything that you missed on the indictment, although now it's going to go into the hell of discovery, and that'll probably take at least a year. Because usually, you know, you'll make a request, and Kane and I were talking, they got 30 days to respond, and it goes back and forth. That's going to last for forever. So we've got all that and more coming up. Second hour, minutes away. Stay with us.
A veteran can buy a brace any day of the year. You haven't lived until you see a shootout in your district between a criminal with a ghost gun. We don't need automatic weapons in the hands of civilians. There's no hunting purpose. There's no purpose. You can buy the brace without a background check. But when it becomes a dangerous weapon, when that brace changes the gun's legal status and makes it, in essence, the same that caused a mass shooting at a Boulder, Colorado supermarket, the stabilizing brace made and a shorter barrel made a pistol under federal gun regulations.
She has no idea what she's talking about. None at all. One of the firearms groups out there said, we just lost brain cells listening to Sheila Jackson Lee yesterday on the floor of the House try to explain anything about a pistol brace. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast, and you can also watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, where there's always good discussion, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347. Yeah, it was the National Association for Gun Rights. They said, our whole office lost brain cells listening to her talk about stabilizing braces, because that's one of the things that passed out of the House yesterday was this bill to repeal, and we talked about this with the congressman who pushed it and proposed it, this bill to repeal the pistol brace ban, which made millions of Americans into felons overnight. And the ATF was trying to say, no, we didn't just make people felons. Like, you know, they could turn it in or they could destroy their gun. That's how they could do it. And but they had said twice, though, the ATF is on record of saying two times over the span of years that, no, these are perfectly legal things to have. And then all of a sudden they decided to change their mind. And it's so, she couldn't even explain how they work. Like, what did she say? She said this quote. She said, I've held an AR-15 in my hand. I wish I hadn't. It's as heavy as 10 boxes.
What?
This dude.
Empty boxes?
Dude, this is the stuff that she literally was like, it's as heavy as 10 boxes.
Empty boxes?
You know the, yeah, of what? Like, boxes of what? You absolute goofball.
Helium?
The issue with this is that I'm not asking you to know everything in the world about pistol braces, etc. What you need to understand is that the pistol brace is a variable. So switch out the pistol brace with something else. Switch out the ATF with another government, bureau. That's what we're talking about. The process of these bureaus of unelected officials who are doing an in run around Congress, and they are creating these rules and demanding that they be followed as law. But in order, for a law to be a law, Congress needs to, has to legislate it. Lawmakers have to draft the bill. I mean, we all remember Schoolhouse Rock, although I do like the meme of when the bill is sitting on the steps of the Capitol and it's talking to the little boy. And he's like, how does a bill become law? And then they exchange money in the second panel. That's it. That's the joke. So this, it doesn't even really matter whether or not you like a pistol brace. And just, you know, pistol braces were literally invented for disabled veterans. It was a guy who came out. He went to the range with one of his friends who had served and was in combat, and he had been injured. And the guy had a lot of difficulty in holding his pistol. And so it was created just to give them a little bit of stability to hold their pistol. And the reason that people were trying to object to it is they said, oh, well, you could use it as like a stock and shoulder, a pistol. Stop it. It's dumb. It's a piece of plastic. That's it. It doesn't change the rate of fire. It doesn't mean more rounds per minute. The only time it would ever help with accuracy is literally if you're a person with a disability and you would like to be able to have something for self-defense and that helps you. That's why it was created. Everyone acts like it's like this evil, nefarious thing, and it's not. You had people that what some of the goal is here is they don't want any kind of, it's really a fight against technology. This would be similar. I was thinking about this actually last night because I started this draft and I was thinking about writing this a piece about like the history of the technological progression of firearms, beginning with the advent of rifling during the time of the Revolution, even though you had the Kentucky gun and all this at the time. And that really is what, the French had rifling. We incorporated that into our arms with Washington's army, etc. Of course, you had some good old folks down there in other parts of the colonies at the time and that were all trying to incorporate this themselves. And that gave us a huge advantage over British because we were more accurate as a result of that. And then it went from there. This would be, in trying to compare it to this, it would be like, the government trying to be against like rifling or something like that at the time. They're against any kind of progression in firearms. And that's ultimately what this is coming down to. And they don't want any kind of aids for anything. So it's about a bureaucracy. It's about one variable and one bureau that's trying to do Congress's job for it. I mean, when I was at SHOT Show in Vegas, which is the industry show, they work with NSSF, National Shooting Sports Foundation. They work with the manufacturers. And the ATF had a booth down there, and they very purposefully put it on one of the lower floors where you have the smaller businesses and the new businesses that are just exhibiting at SHOT Show for the first time. I think they do it as a form of intimidation. And none of them could answer my questions. And I took Lauren Boebert over there. I was down at a friend's booth, a veteran-owned booth. A lot of these are mom-and-pop shops. And I wasn't a jerk or anything because there's two things I wanted to do. I wanted to see if any of them could explain it to me in a way that had not yet been conveyed to the public, number one. And number two, I wanted to see if they actually knew what the hell it was that they were trying to enforce. And I was so abysmally disappointed on both of those counts. And one of the guys was just, I was very cool. I think if I had been aggressive, he would have been quote unquote triggered. But he was very immediately like on his guard when I came over to his booth. And I was just very cool. I just, managed the situation. I was just, being very non-confrontational, making them feel at ease so they didn't get all upset, and all this stuff. And they had started with like two of these agents and then three and then four and then five and then six and then seven and eight. And all these people kept coming. I was being real cool. And I know there were like a bunch of people that started to form behind us. And I wanted them to see that, first off, this is stupid. Secondly, I apparently knew more about the rule than they did, which also shocked me. I'm like, you're supposed to, this is like your thing. How do I know more about this than you do? And they couldn't explain anything to me. And at one time when the guy mentioned Trump, one of the agents, he pretended to scratch his cheek and he just stuck up his middle finger and scratched his cheek when he said, And I looked at him, I go, that's cute. I'm like, come on. I'm like, you're a government official. Should you really be doing that here? And he just kind of looked at me. It's like, this is so goofy. I'm like, how are you helping your cause? Really, how are you helping your cause? The whole reason you're here, and I told him this, is that you guys claim that you're trying to make inroads with a lot of these entities, a lot of these businesses, but your actions say everything but. You seem like you're here for a fight. You seem like you're here to be confrontational and nothing else. And it's true. I mean, with some of those agents, they did. And they couldn't tell me who I could talk to. It was like, you know, they acted like they were some kind of mysterious organization. It was really weird. So that's my problem. And that's why, I mean, I walked away feeling even more ticked off than I was. But kept it cool, kept it chill, because I knew they would lose their minds if I even so much as raised their voice. For people who are like agents and who should have all of their stuff together, I've never seen more fragile people. Like, I should not be cooler and calmer than you. I should not be going up and having, you know, more of a better bearing than you. Like, if you're going to sit here and do all of this stuff, then man, you better actually walk the walk. It's ridiculous. No wonder they shoot dogs and everything. Oh, wait, what? But anyway, as I was saying, this, it's literally just one variable. And that's one of the things that they were pushing. So it passed through the House. If I'm being honest, I don't have any expectation that it'll go through the Senate. Even though Democrat, you know, majority is very small there, I don't think that there's any chance that it will, because with Republicans like Mitt Romney and others, you have the Murkowskis, you have the Collins, Romney. I don't really have a lot of confidence that it's going to go anywhere, because not every Republican is as strong on natural rights as you would like for them to be. So that being said, this was that was one of the things that went through. So they voted to repeal the ATF's pistol brace edict. And then here you had Sheila Jackson Lee. She thinks that it's a piece of plastic that was created that turns guns into full auto. She actually thinks pistol braces turned guns into full auto.
Why is she representing anyone?
You have a responsibility to know what the hell you're talking about if you're going to propose laws to regulate it. I mean, we didn't glam up her remarks. That those were literally her remarks. You cannot make this stuff up. So that's some of the stuff that they were pushing through the House. They had the pistol brace that's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. Da, da, da. They had a number of bills. They had a couple. I'm pulling up some of the stuff that they had, because they had some stuff on the green energy. The Freedom Caucus added new members. They had a little House floor rebellion. They added some new members, including Dinah Harshberger of Tennessee, Eric Burleson of Missouri. They've joined the House Freedom Caucus, which was founded in the days of the Tea Party. That was confirmed by two other Republicans in the Freedom Caucus. They said that they were trying to be quiet about it, so they didn't want any kind of pushback from Republican leaders. So those were some of the things that they had that they were pushing through. They were also the... and Biden, by the way, is expected to veto that pistol brace bill, even if it went through the Senate. They've already said that he would be vetoing it. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there you have it. Yeah. So a couple of other things. I told you yesterday, and I had a quick post about it. You know how they had the Pride celebration on the South Lawn of the White House? Karine Jean-Pierre actually spoke about this. I think we have this. She was on the floor, if we've got time. She was on the floor and she mentioned this. This was yesterday afternoon. Audio somebody too. Listen to this.
On the exposure incident on the South Lawn, having received the statement that the White House believes that was inappropriate, disrespectful, is there going to be a greater effort in the future to communicate a code of conduct for White House guests?
Look, we've, as you mentioned, the statement that we put out, you heard from us earlier today, the behavior was simply unacceptable. We've been very clear about that. It was unfair to the hundreds of attendees who were there to celebrate their families. So, you know, we're going to continue to be clear on that. And that type of behavior is, as I said, unacceptable. It's not appropriate. It's disrespectful. And let's not, it really does not reflect the event that we hosted.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. I mean, it absolutely reflects the event that they hosted, that they invited these activists to, the families and the kids. I mean, this is the party that celebrates the reading of actual pornographic books to minors, right? And men showing their implants and women showing their medically unnecessary mastectomy scars, that's supposed to be over the line, but not reading text or showing images in books like Genderqueer. They don't have a line, because they're just mad that it complicated things for them, not that they have some sort of standard of decency. And by the way, the guy who, Rose Montoya, who was the one with implants, He had said that, you know, that if people are upset that it's just affirming that he's a woman. No, he's a misogynistic cosplayer. He's actually arguing that degrading oneself in public as somehow being a woman and criticizing his behavior affirms his claim. No one's affirming anything other than he, the observable fact that he behaved like classless trash at the White House. It has nothing to do with being trans. It has everything to do with being inappropriate, regardless of whether or not you have implants, because you're at the White House. And as I said yesterday, part of being a woman is acting like a lady, and that's not something you can surgically enhance or develop with hormone abuse.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gosh, that's probably one of my favorite songs that Allison Chains track. All right, so in West Texas, NBC News, thousands of dead fish are washing up on Texas's coast. Beachgoers are urged to steer clear. The quote-unquote fish kill, they said, was the result of low dissolved oxygen in the water. It's common in the summer when temperatures rise, according to Texas Fish and Wildlife. So don't be like, it's global warming. They said it's actually common when the summer, the fish suffocate. And they said it was the Quintana Beach County Park. They were urging swimmers to avoid the coast. They said there were high bacteria levels and sharp fins of the dead fish. So wait until the event was over, they were saying. Whew. Also, a couple of other things. This is interesting. Remember how some of these businesses, like up in Seattle, how they were very, very pro-BLM and pro-Antifa? And one of these businesses supported the autonomous zone CHOP. They sued Seattle over, quote, extensive property damage caused by rioters and the hostile occupation. I'm not even making this up. I think you kind of got to deal with it. That's what you wanted. It's called Molly Moon's Homemade Ice Cream. It's a Seattle-based chain. They sued the city of Seattle after they allowed the formation, they said, of BLM's autonomous zone, renamed CHOP, and they want compensation for it. But you supported it. You, like, encouraged it. You helped enable it. I'm just saying, you know, that's 22 troops injured in a helicopter crash in Syria. This coming out today, the Pentagon revealed this late yesterday evening. They said that there were 22 service members injured. No enemy fire reported. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
What would the president say to parents out there who have daughters, let's say in high school, for example, who are worried that their daughter may have to compete against a male, a person born male, and there could be directly in physical athletic competition and worry about their daughter's safety?
So look, what you're alluding to is basically saying that transgender kids are dangerous. It sounds like that's what you're saying. Well, you're saying that their safety is at risk. Yeah, but you're laying out a broad example or explanation of what could potentially happen. A broad example explanation that is dangerous. That is a dangerous thing to say. That essentially transgender kids we're talking about are dangerous.
That's such a lie, and she's not very good at trying to turn this around, and the reporter should have pushed back harder on her, honestly. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. So his question was about the disenfranchisement of women in sports and how are women and their participation in women's sports, how is that going to be protected with men who are competing in women's athletics? And her response was to say it was dangerous to ask that. So she's immediately trying to psychologically condition him to think that his question somehow is dangerous because it makes it dangerous for the men who are identifying as women who want to participate in female sports, that he's making a dangerous situation just merely by asking the question. She's trying to suppress speech by saying that he is the one who's being dangerous by noting this. And it's not a very rare or a hypothetical. It's at all. I mean, there are tons of instances of this happening all over the United States. A lot of instances of this happening. And we just had a race where the guy beat the women by over 4 minutes. That's crazy. And so him bringing this up, what she's doing is saying, well, it's not, you know, they're she's conflating their desires with safety and then trying to act like everyone's picking on these, on the trans athletes. And she's like, well, these are kids. Yeah, these are kids. These are female kids. These are female. We're talking about young minors playing sports. What a ridiculous posturing. This reporter really should have looked back. I mean, when you push back a lot harder, and when you look at the, when you compare the differences in terms of athletic achievements of men who are competing in women's sports and women competing in women's sports, I mean, there's a reason why the men get on the podium and the women are relegated to stepping off. And she's ignoring this. What's dangerous is putting women's opportunities and safety at risk by somehow asserting that they are the ones, because they are objecting, because they are doing what they have been raised to do, what they have been told to do generationally, year after year, in entertainment and in song and in everything, to voice and to speak up, use their voice if they feel uncomfortable or if they feel threatened. And now you're saying that it's dangerous for them to do so, and you're calling them bigots. That's the question that I would have turned it back on her. So you're saying that women, after being told for decades, generations, to speak up if they feel uncomfortable in a situation or if they feel as though they are being denied an opportunity, they are now bigots for speaking up and voicing concerns about their opportunities being taken from them or uncomfortability. They're bigots for speaking up now. That's your official position. I would have turned it right back on her. These people are owed no courtesy. It was ridiculous. What a ridiculous gaslighting. She's so bad at this. Oh my gosh, she's one of the worst. She gets up there and sputters and stutters, and it's ridiculous. So the point of this, because this is what they keep pushing. I saw this tweet earlier. I actually retweeted this because this is infuriating, because they had the I think this was, so this is the autopsy report of the killer from Nashville, who the trans activist who went hunting down Christian kids, and because they were mad, I guess, that people weren't affirming the fact that they saw themselves as males, as a male instead of a female. And so this account, and this is kind of indicative of what I've been seeing a lot on the far left, if I'm being honest. They say, oh, it's a non-state-affiliated, agenda-free news media. So stupid. They said that the trans shooter's autopsy report shows, this is the actual statement, the transphobic police officers used nearly 30 bullets to kill 28-year-old trans accused of the mass shooting in a Christian school. No, she wasn't accused. She did it. You child-killing apologists. She did it. And the police now are transphobic because she somehow... So what, right? I mean, trans people are the most annoying protected class on God's green earth. These activists are ridiculous. So what? The way that I see it retweeted and the way that I see these people write this is that somehow, because she's trans, she enjoys the right of going into a school and killing kids? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Yeah. And that the police, because they stopped her from... her fun, I guess, what she thought was an enjoyable exercise of hunting down and killing children. The police stopped her because they impeded her activity. They're homophobic or transphobic. I mean, they used 30 bullets to kill her. How many bullets did she use? That's not enough for her. Golly. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy to see this, kind of stuff. And you know, the other thing too is you saw the way that the media, they made this killer like the new Joan of Arc. All of these headlines, the way that, oh, well, the trans community is under threat. The trans community is blah, 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 blah. What about the Christians that were targeted because of their faith? They never got a call. Those families never got a call from the White House. They never had Christians from that community. They never got a meeting with Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or invited to the White House. They didn't have any. They weren't on the Today Show. They weren't celebrated. like the grifters in Nashville who decided to bring a little coffin into the Capitol to protest, but they never actually took the time to go to any of the funerals of the victims that the victims' families held. I mean, the way that they spun that, you want to know why the culture war is important and why Paul Ryan's comment it does infuriate me. Because would you rather seed that narrative that, oh my gosh, even though it was a trans activist that went and shot up this Christian school, oh my gosh, these trans people are just really targeted and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like almost like you're trying to justify what that activist did. Oh, well, because, you know, the trans community is targeted. I mean, it's understandable that somebody, that's really what they're saying that they aren't saying. And then you have Cartoon Network. They're doing they, them pronouns in their new thing. They also have the Blues Clues. They had a couple years ago, they released the Blues Clues Pride sing-along. Again, you're talking about something that's based on sex. And so Cartoon Network now is doing the pronouns with kids. It's the wee baby bear. See, I think I may have this. Let me see if I think I may have this. Here, turn me up, because I'm going to. I probably can't play because we'll get in trouble, I'm sure, by licensing. Someone will report us on YouTube and then try to get our video down, because even though it's completely fair use, you absolute fascists, they don't want you to play any of it. They do that all the time. Actually, no, I'm doing it anyway. So they have this parrot, and it's the. Do you hear it?
No. Great.
Okay. All right. This is why we all need to always make sure my computer's turned up. I say this every time I want to play something live on air.
We found Jared. Poor lad. And this be Winnie.
Hey there. I am the great Winifred. She, her.
Seriously?
Extraordinaire.
There me new crew.
Winifred is a...
This is awesome.
I don't know what the hell it is.
Also has a new addition. Pink Box. They use they, them pronouns, and they bake an exceptionally good quiche.
They, them pronouns. Do you hear what I'm talking about? This is crazy. That's like, golly, do you remember Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah.
Remember Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think kids are going to be able to watch this show and follow along because it's so ridiculous. Wow. And this is what they're pushing this everywhere for kids. There's a bright spot in this. There's a middle school in Massachusetts where students staged a protest because they got tired of being lectured about pronouns and everything else. So they staged this protest and they tore down some of the decorations and they chanted USA are my pronouns. Apparently the Marshall Simmons Middle School in Burlington. They were going to host this pride celebration. Have you noticed it's not like pride anymore? It's trans. There's nothing about the G's and the L's anymore. It's all trans stuff. They said that the students felt obligated by some of the faculty to participate. They were asked to wear rainbow clothing. And there's a couple of entities that have this, including the Daily Mail. And the students were tired of it. So they protested, and the officials said that the students were acted like they were, they said that they demonstrated intolerance and homophobia. So the adults now started attacking the kids, and the kids wore red, white, and blue. They didn't wear rainbows. The parents were like, they didn't want to be forced to wear rainbow stuff. The kids tore up the rainbow, and it's not just the rainbow stickers. It's the stickers with the trans stuff all over it. It's not just like it's all the trans stuff that they're pushing. And they had, they have like these quote, I mean, oh my gosh, these like quotes that incorporate quotes on trans and all this stuff. And so the students spoke out, they protested. And now the faculty is saying your kids are homophobic and intolerant. And the parents are like, these kids did not want to be forced into this. And the Burlington Public Schools sent a letter to the parents saying that, well, we're obligated to provide a safe environment for all students. Apparently you're not, because these students felt bullied into your agenda. Good on the parents. They're sticking up for it. But they said they had the Burlington Equity Coalition co-chair, Nancy Bonacera, who said that these displays of intolerance and homophobia are unacceptable. I would have slapped the hell right off her face. for trying to bully children. This woman is abusive and shouldn't be allowed around children. Nancy Bonacera over at Burlington, the Equity Coalition co-chair, is abusive to children because children didn't want to be bullied into wearing these stickers. And this god-awful woman decides to get up there and say that these kids are and emotionally abuse them, call them names, say that they're intolerant and they're homophobic because they didn't want to be bullied and forced into wearing this stuff. I would take out a restraining order on her for abuse. I would. Oh my gosh. There's no end to the litigation that I would employ. That's insane. Parents need to make these people feel that type of pain. That's insane. That is emotionally abusive. We have a lot more on the way. It enrages me. Because you know what? Kids have gone through enough in the past couple of years, and now they got this.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, so this Florida man stole a watch while he was sipping on Smirnoff Ice. He danced out of the store and then continued the crime spree at Walmart. Port St. Lucie, CBS 12. A man's behind bars. He stole a watch from a jewelry store. He was drinking Smirnoff Ice Pink Lemonade, and then he was dancing out the store. The suspect, Micah Rice, then went to Walmart where he stole a 12-pack of Mic Ultra and then Armor All and Sharpies. According to Port St. Lucie, the police say that after he stole the watch, he chugged the Smirnoff, fled in his vehicle. They identified the vehicle. They found him in the parking lot, stolen watch on his wrist. He was taken to St. Lucie County Jail. He's being charged with grand theft. What in the world? Also, like, worst taste ever. Like, the Smirnoff, what? Come on. Oh my gosh, I don't even know some of these people. So this, let's do this one. I'm going to do the Tampa Free Press one. So this is a Florida man who cut off his ankle monitor and jumped out of his apartment window during SWAT negotiations. Corey Michael Payton has a criminal history, 139 priors.
What?
Felonies.
Why is he out?
Total of 30 felony convictions. He was arrested Sunday after he cut off his ankle monitor, barricaded himself in an apartment, and then jumped out of a window. Sumter County Sheriff's Office responded. It was like 3 a.m. And it was a driver who broke into the apartments after crashing a car in one of the buildings. 44-year-old Corey Michael Payton, they found him there. He was he barricaded himself inside of the apartment that he was burglarizing. They've been negotiating with him for several hours to surrender peacefully before he dove out of the second story apartment and landed on the ground. They attempted life saving measures before they flew him to the trauma center by helicopter because he'd about damn near killed himself. So they found his ankle monitor. He was on parole for burglary and on supervised release. I guess he wasn't that supervised. So after he's released from the hospital, he's going to jail. Man, to jump out of a second. Jeez, just take the hit at that point, dude. And last but not least, a Florida man came home from a 7-month trip to find a squatter in his home. This was in Marion County Sheriff's. The Marion County Sheriff's Office has this story coming out of Florida. They said that the homeowner went to New Zealand for 7 months. When he came back, there was a squatter in his house. The two got into a verbal argument. The homeowner fired a shot, asking the trespasser to leave. Zamoye Brown was arrested on several charges: misdemeanor trespassing, possession of marijuana, felony possession of controlled substance. And the homeowner said that he was there for 7 months in New Zealand, came back, his house was trashed, burglarized, and he was trying to catch the squatter. The homeowner said he slept in a closet. And when he went to sleep, he said that his alarm went off at 8 p.m. and he found the squatter peeking into the room where he was lying down. And they began to argue about who owns the house. Dude, I'm going to beat you to death. I'm going to shoot you or beat you to death. One of the two is going to happen. There's not going to be an argument about this. There's going to be two hits. You getting hit and then you hitting the floor. That's it. So they Brown lied and was saying that he bought the house and then he lived there for a few months. But no, he's was taken to jail. There you go. Folks, we got third hour on the way. Stick with us.
We've got to keep it up. We've got to double down right now. It's only going to get harder from here. But it's closer. But it's going to get harder. The word is, as I said again, the inflection point.
It's what is that? It's going to get closer. It's going to get harder from here, but it's closer. But it's going to get harder. Wait, what? He doesn't know what he's saying anymore. That's Joe Biden, who's... Is that a threat? It's going to get closer and also harder. And then closer again, but harder. Creepy. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of our third hour. Woo! You'll have to forgive me. I got a little bit of allergy kicking off here. Yes. Bless me. Thank you. As we dive in here, what was he talking about, the economy? What was the context of that clip? I'm curious. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it has to do with the LGBTQ stuff, where apparently they're pushing harder, I guess, against legislation for people to have autonomy over their kids.
I'm amazed. They always have to have like some kind of like, you know, hurt and rescue. That's what it always has to be. Good heavens. All right. So it's going to get harder. So, speaking of the Bidens, check out this from the latest from Free Beacon. This is absolutely awful. I mean, so they're free. So the Beacon piece showed that Hunter Biden dropped contact a few months into his ex's pregnancy. He cut off her salary, cut off her health insurance shortly after she gave birth. Didn't even want to see a photo of his newborn daughter. And he was mad because she wouldn't, London Roberts wouldn't abort her. Oh my gosh. Like one of the texts received, because she had said that, you know, she was trying to, get a hold of him. And, you know, because they had been involved. I mean, good grief, he had her on the payroll for a while. And for months, this was in 2018, his ex, London Roberts, could not reach him. I mean, he was the father of her daughter. He screened her calls. Free Beacon says he ignored her messages. And then 6 weeks after, she tried one more time. And she says, in hopes that you read this, the baby was born August 28th, beautiful and healthy. She's like, if you ever become curious and you want to know more, I can send pictures, details, or whatever you may request. And he never responded to her. She's like, the door's always open. You know, she's like, I know you'd rather avoid the whole situation. And so now the little girl's four. Joe and Jill won't have anything to do with her. They completely ignore her. They don't put a stocking up for her Christmas. Whenever they ask ask about how many grandkids they have, they always omit the little girl. And so now they're involved in this child support struggle in Arkansas, and he's got to go back to the courtroom again, Hunter Biden. They keep threatening him with jail if he doesn't go back. And London Roberts, she's not doing public interviews. She's not doing anything like that. Have you noticed? You haven't seen her with a Gloria Allred out anywhere. You haven't seen her out, you know, doing anything. You haven't seen her out really saying anything. She's just fighting to make sure that her daughter is taken care of and that she's going to be able to go and have a normal life, even though she's, you know, unfortunately, daughter of Hunter Biden. She's declined all of this. She could really be running to the press and running the family down, and she hasn't done that. She's just fighting for her daughter. And so remember, Hunter Biden had put his ex on company payroll. She had health care while she was in his good graces. And then he decided to cut her off. And they had agreed back when his dad was campaigning in 2020, he was paying her child support. And then he decided he didn't want to do it anymore. And so that's why they're in court. And then he also wanted the court to block the child from even taking his last name. Although you may not want his last name, to be honest. And he denied that he was this little girl's dad until the court ordered DNA test, Beacon noted, proved him wrong. He said he had no recollection of Roberts. He was a drug addict. I had a lot of casual partners at the time, except she worked for the damn company. There's like all kinds of texts and discussions between you guys and all kinds of stuff. He literally put her on the payroll at his company and health insurance. So this idea that he couldn't, he lied. But the whole family ignores them. And remember when some of the emails came out with his assistant, Katie Dodge? They said that he told Dodge, take London off payroll. And he referred to her as what's her name. Take what's her name off payroll. And his assistant said, okay, that's going to take her off health insurance. And he's like, yeah, do it. Wow. He's absolute. This whole family is trash. This whole family is trash. He disowns his kid. He didn't want her to live. He wanted her aborted. And you have Joe and Jill, the worst parents on the planet, who are enabling this. Why does everybody pretend that this is a happy little family? Why is no one asking, okay, you have the president of the United States. Every damn one of his kids apparently has an issue with drugs. They have an issue with daddy, mommy issues. None of them can have healthy relationships. Ask yourself why this is. That's a major problem. And he's probably compromised by Russians. That's what we were hearing. That's what the whistleblower is saying. Golly. I feel for this woman. This is this family. This is who this family is. And in the meantime, not a single person in the media talks about this. They don't talk about 17 recordings of the president of the United States on record with a Burisma executive that they saved to have as an insurance policy, to have as blackmail, leverage over the president of the United States, compromising information. No one in the media is talking about this, but I'm supposed to take seriously what? How Trump was handling documentation, classified doc. Look, I'm telling you what. You know, want to know why I'm not really focusing on the indictment? Because I think it's all just a theater. And I'm sure that you can make the argument to me, and I agree with it. Sure, I'm sure that some of the charges, if everything checks out in the indictment, yeah, that's legit, okay. But I'm having a difficulty in caring because of everything else, because of this complete unequal application of the law. Is that wrong, Kane? I'm being honest with people. I'm just telling them why I'm not. I mean, that's why people might, I don't want people to come to their own conclusions as to why I'm not really focusing on all the indictment stuff. Well, first off, there's nothing else to report on. Everything that happened, happened. I've told you everything. But secondly, why am I supposed to act like, you know, this is more important than the president of the United States? You know, the allegation that he's compromised by the Russians and all these audio recordings and all these receipts and everything else that the media won't talk about. That's the reason why I just can't get into it and follow it breathlessly like MSNBC and CNN. But one of the reasons I think they follow it like that is so they don't have to talk about this. I'm going to do this once. Bear with me. Indulge me. Imagine if it was Trump and Melania who didn't want to acknowledge one of his kids' children and they ignored one of their grandkids. Imagine if one of Trump's kids didn't want to take responsibility for one of the children he created. Told the company that he worked with to cut her off payroll and drop her health insurance while she's pregnant. Imagine that. What would that look like? And imagine that Russians actually had compromising information on him. Imagine that they were merging out previous elected offices. Millions. Oh my gosh, Kane. Mm-hmm. He'd already be in jail. We'd already gone through it. They'd have sped that up so fast. His attorney wouldn't even have to ask for it. They'd have sped it up. So is it ignorant that I just can't bring myself to focus on that issue breathlessly considering? Because that's why. Someone asked me, like, you cover the indictment, but you're not covering it. Yeah, because I think so much of it is also being completely... The reaction to it, I think, is being totally exaggerated. Maybe it's just me. I think it's exaggerated in the face of all of the stuff that the media ignores. Everything they said about the previous administration is literally true with this one. It's wild. Absolutely wild. Speaking of wildness, tech and gov. Did you guys hear this story? So I saw this at PJ Media. This guy named Brandon Jackson, he has a smart home, right? And he wrote this piece on Medium because he's, you know, he loves having a smart home. I do not like that, the idea of a smart home. It sounds insane to me, and I just don't know. So his home is tied to Amazon, and he discovered that his house wasn't doing the stuff that he wanted it to do, right? He said it was a sequence of events that led to, you know, what that started innocuously enough. And so he thought, he noted that the way that he interfaced with all of the stuff in his house was through the Amazon Echo, like via Alexa, right? And then all of a sudden, Alexa wouldn't respond to any of his stuff. Oh, this gets crazy. So wait. And at first he's like, well, maybe I was hacked. So he went to, you know, he did all this stuff to make sure that his passwords were secure. And when he got all of that figured out, he was like, oh, what am I going to do? And on May 24th, apparently he had a package like delivered to his house. And his doorbell camera was programmed to say, excuse me, can I help you? And for one reason or the other, the driver that was walking away from the door wearing headphones on camera decided that his doorbell camera had uttered a racial slur. So the driver filed a complaint, and that's what happened. All of it turned against him. Oh my gosh. This is totally like Space Odyssey. I'm sorry, I can't do that, Hal. One wrong move and everything goes away with one flip of a switch. One wrong move.
Social credit scores, baby.
Yeah, I mean, that is crazy. I mean, yeah, well, social credit scores. So they thought he had said something racist, and that's ultimately what it was. And so because of that, he got shut out of his out of everything.
No.
He said that he was like, I don't know. He said that the problem was that the almighty algorithm, he goes, the algorithm did what it was supposed to do. It received an accusation of racism. And he said, you know, it went and it was, you know, looking to resolve it. But unfortunately, there was, as you were saying, he didn't get to actually intervene and be like, that's not what happened. I can't believe somebody would think that they were wearing headphones and you would hear. We got to get moving, but I'm going to come back to this because this is crazy. So he lost access to everything. Like everything in his house. It was all built around, you know, to be an Amazon smart house. Gosh, that's so weird.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is not a headline I ever thought I would share. Sweden blames their inflation on Beyonce. Economists say the singer's visit to Stockholm accounted for a 0.3% rise in prices. The experts say that she could have tipped the scales of inflation in Sweden, and they suggest that her tour probably accounted for 0.2 of the 0.3 percentage points. What? They said prices rose by 9.7% May year on year, down from 10. But the first time they said that they had decreased in blah, blah, blah prices. But then they said that there was an unexpected rise and they think it was because she came to Stockholm. That's nuts. Seriously? That's crazy. Okay. Okay. I've seen everything now. That's all right. New York City office space occupancy. Remember how everyone was leaving Manhattan? So now they're like actual brick and mortar occupancies hit 50%. For the first time since the COVID crash. That was just last week. Crossed 50% last week. Because, it collapsed their economy and everybody left. So they said that depressed business districts are still in trouble, though. But they said that the milestone came during the wildfires. But reverting, they said, to pre-COVID times is just absolutely, it's impossible. They said it's been a real struggle for employers and everybody's having to like reinterpret how they're doing business now. It's pretty amazing. A new report says that AI could destroy or degrade 300 million jobs. Goldman Sachs says that 300 million jobs could be lost or diminished by the technology as automation renders human workers unnecessary. No one saw this come. You know who's going to be really hit is minimum wage. They're going to be really hit. Kenya tea pickers are destroying the machines replacing them. Kericho, Kenya. Kenyan tea pickers are destroying the machines that have been bought in to replace them during violent protests that highlight the challenge faced by lower skilled workers as more agribusiness companies rely on automation. 10 tea plucking machines have been torched in multiple flashpoints in the past year. They have the Kenya Tea Growers Association. They're saying it costs like $1.2 million in damages. I mean, they're interesting. There you go. And scientists think that the chicken came first, not the egg. They think it was born live like mammals. That's what they said. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said that during the COVID-19 pandemic, the establishment kind of waffled a bunch of facts and then asked for a bunch of things to be censored that in retrospect ended up being more debatable or true. Did the CDC work with Meta, or I like to call it Facebook still, to censor or otherwise alter any post?
Here's what I can tell you. The most important thing that has gotten us out of this pandemic, I think, is our vaccine and how well they work and how safe they are.
I understand that.
And it was really important that the American people understand how well they work and how safe they are.
I understand it.
But in terms of the communications, that is, again, something that I'm not going to speak to because it is currently under court.
So you're not going to answer the question.
It is currently under court litigation.
I hear that so much on everything we do. It's currently under investigation. Did the president take a bribe? Dr. Jackson is currently under investigation.
Comer's right. He's there talking to Robin Walensky about what kind of conversation they had with Facebook during all of this. This whole with the censoring of posts about this was all during even after a lockdown, so that whole thing. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this third hour here, Dana Lash sitting with you, and that's one of the big things. This was actually from the Times. It's a British paper that had the story of what really went on inside the Wuhan lab weeks before everything erupted. And you had this part of the House oversight hearings. They've been going through all of these things that we have been talking about and asking, grilling these bureaucrats about this stuff. I mean, they just couldn't say whether or not that was something that, it's under investigation. This is under investigation. This is being litigated. So that means like there was something that was there. That's how I'm like, where there's smoke, there's fire. That's how I'm looking at it. Right. The media has been ignoring this story. So this story also, this story that came out of the Times, this was on Sunday. They had the real origins of the coronavirus and the manner, and they discussed the manner in which it was kind of released into the population. Where's the tweet that I had from my friend Dave Birch? Because he was cracking me up. He was like, oh, yes, I'm sure that they just went to the, with the pangolin and bat all-you-can-eat buffet. Sure, it was just one of those things. So they have this story. The Times, it is a bombshell. So the Times is sort of, the UK Times, not to be confused with the New York Times, is more of a, I don't want to say right, they're more center than the New York Times are. And it was a bombshell. So they said, yes, it was indeed engineered by the Chinese military using U.S. funding, and the funding came through the EcoHealth Alliance. And it's, referred to as the greatest crime of the 21st century. Went through NIH to EcoHealth Alliance to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This is the UK Times. Interestingly enough, the New York Times is named after them. So the Chinese military was involved in this research when they were looking at gain of function. And when all of that actually started, they started seeing results of it. That was around 2017. That's what the UK Times is saying. They looked and they quoted State Department investigators. They said, quote, scientists in Wuhan working alongside the Chinese military were combining the world's most deadly coronaviruses to create a new mutant virus just as the pandemic began. Investigators who scrutinized top secret intercepted communications and scientific research believe Chinese scientists were running a covert project of dangerous experiments, which caused a leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology and started the outbreak. The U.S. investigators say one of the reasons there is no published information on the work is because it was done in collaboration with researchers from the Chinese military, which it was funding, and which they say was pursuing bioweapons. Now, we had banned this until it was reversed by Fauci, and then EcoHealth Alliance very excitedly restarted all of this research into it. And the Sunday Times, they said that the UK Times, they said they reviewed hundreds of documents, including all these confidential reports, internal memos, everything. And it showed that they also interviewed the U.S. State Department investigators and experts on China, that they were the ones who conducted the first significant inquiry into the origins of this outbreak. Some of this information came right from our own government. Like they, I don't know how they got the documentation, but they apparently got it and they put it together and they had these State Department investigators confirm it. And for the UK Times to put this out is very interesting to me because they're not a sensational publication. The UK Times is a very kind of right down the middle, calling balls and strikes. Sometimes they've endorsed the Tories and they've endorsed the Labour Party and they've never been drawn into some of the more sensational tabloid type stuff. Like it's very much not a Daily Mail, right? Daily Mail is more tabloid. So that to me is significant. But they said that the viruses, they said that they didn't warn anyone. The Chinese authorities didn't report the fatalities after they said some of the stuff started breaking out. They said they started, the Institute was involved in these risky experiments that it was gathering from bat caves in southern China. And they made their, initially they made things public. They argued that associated risks were justified because the work would help science develop vaccines. And then that changed in 2016 because they developed a new type of virus in a mine shaft in the Yunnan province. And the people there who had contracted it had some had symptoms similar to SARS. They didn't warn anyone. And these apparently were the viruses now recognized as the only members of the coronaviruses, you know, immediate family pre-pandemic. So that's when they transported this to the Wuhan Institute. One U.S. investigator says that that's when the work of the scientists became classified and the trail of papers went dark. And that's when the classified program kicked in. And the U.S. investigator said, quote, my view is the reason that Mojiang was covered up was due to military secrecy related to the Army's pursuit of dual-use capabilities in virological, biological weapons and vaccines. So they said that the classified program was to make the mineshaft viruses more infectious to humans. That's per the U.S. investigators. Now, we all know this. This is things that we all entertained, right? And remember, when all of this stuff began to bubble up in the conversations of Americans across the country, and when these experts told Fauci that the virus looked engineered, that's when he had this conference call and they got everyone. And he's like, no, it's natural. They weren't. And Fauci helped fund it. And there was tons of Chinese interference in the investigation. Despite the fact, I mean, State Department investigators, apparently they found a lot. But they said that there was a lot of interference from China. And they said that separate analysis shows the center of the initial outbreak was COVID-19, which has killed more than 7 million people, was close to the Institute's laboratory rather than the city's wildlife market has been thought, right? So nobody was going to the pangolin and bat buffet. Now, this has been denied in public so many times. But this is kind of what I thought all along. I really did. I thought that was, you know, that's something that they were doing all along. They had this gain of function research, et cetera, et cetera. And they were hiding it. And even after, you know, we implemented methods to stop it, it had been reversed and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the other things that I didn't know, and this is what came out from the UK Times had reported on this. So they said the biosafety labs, they were a level 2 in terms of safety. That is comparable to basically a dentist office. Yeah. From the UK Times. By 2017, according to a paper published, scientists had sought to create 8 mutant viruses from the SARS-like viruses from one of the caves. And 2 of the mutant viruses were found to infect human cells. And this work was carried out in the Institute's biosafety level 2 laboratories, which took only light precautions that are compared to those used during dental surgery. Okay, wow. Now, do you remember when I told you about the story of these diplomats that were sent to go visit the Wuhan Institute of Virology? Do you all remember this? We talked about this a lot on the show because this always stuck out to me. So you had these U.S. diplomats that had been sent to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they were the ones who sent those secret cables back to D.C. saying that, oh my gosh, this is really troubling. The lack of protocol and security that we're seeing here is really troubling. Do you all remember that? Can you remember that? Mm-hmm. They sent those secret department cables back. That was leaked after we went to lockdown. Now, what didn't you think it was kind of weird that they were sent out there? Because I kept thinking, that's why it always stuck out to me. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, they had these diplomats that they sent out. Why? That sounds like a weird thing to do, right? Well, it's because they had gotten wind. Like, U.S. guidelines require a minimum of a level 3 BSL-3 precautions for any kind of similar work, including self-closing doors, filtered air. This was BS level 2. When our embassy found out that it was this bad and that it was due and that it involved viruses that had been gain-of-function research and the mutation had happened to where they could infect human cells, that's when they sent the diplomats out to basically double-check. It wasn't just because that's how it was presented in the press, remember? Oh, it's because it's a science partnership. And the Wuhan Institute of Virology is known as like the gold standard of these labs. Remember that? So when they went out there, that's what they were going out there to check. They already knew something shady was happening. They sent the secret cables back to confirm it. And they said that they had seen a quote, serious shortage of appropriately trained technicians and investigators that are needed to safely operate this high containment laboratory. These were the diplomatic cables that had been leaked to the Washington Post. The Washington Post first reported it. So that's why those diplomats were out there. It wasn't because of some joint scientific, you know, oh, they're going to go visit the Wuhan Institute of Virology because it's considered to be the gold standard. No, they heard some shady stuff was happening out there. Very troubling and scary, and that these viruses had mutated through gain-of-function research and could now infect human cells, and they went out to confirm it. That's what they were there for, and they confirmed it. So they knew back in January of 2018, because that's when those cables were leaked. They knew back in January of 2018 that through Fauci and NIH, we were financing this and we were allowing China to do it. Our geopolitical foes. This was one of the worst cover-ups. I think this is the biggest cover-up in American history, in the world's history. Unless you pull out some alien stuff, which I ain't believing, there's nothing that touches this. And then you had all the media out there. What did they label you if you raised the question as to whether or not this was actually gain-of-function research, whether or not this was in a lab? Oh my gosh, you were suspended from social media. You had warning labels affixed to anything that you posted. This is one of the most dangerous things, I mean, I've ever seen. There's more. We've known this for so long. CDC, NIAID. Our intelligence community. And it looks like they panicked, lost their minds, and they tried to cover it up. Everyone's lives were wrecked because of this stuff.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
It is what we decide now that will define the rest of humanity's future. And whether we choose to do that or not, if we don't, it will be a death sentence to countless of people, and it is already a death sentence to countless of people living on the front lines of the climate crisis today. But the political will is nowhere to be seen.
She's 20 years old now, so the whole kid, little cutie kid thing doesn't work anymore. That shtick is done. She's 20 years old. What does she do besides going on and complaining about the weather and... How dare you? It's a death sentence. Mew. She's 20 years old. At some point, it gets to be, like, too much, you know? Like, Taylor Swift being, like, is she, like, 30 now? And you're still talking about ex-boyfriends like you're some 15-year-old?
Yeah, is she 30
now? I don't know. Is she? I don't really care. But let me look. I don't know. I don't get the, I don't know how old she is. Don't tell me, internet, because I don't care. She's 33.
33?
Yeah, it's like some point, you know, you got to put aside childish things. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. This is just, it's ridiculous at some point, right? Like with Greta Thunberg, you're 20 years old. Stop being like, I'm just a little, I'm just a schoolgirl. I'm worried about the weather. You're all going, you're killing us with the weather. No one, stop it. Stop it. You know, because it's summer, I see all these pictures of these climate influencers on big boats and on private jets going on vacation. Have you seen these? Some one thing that's, they, you know, they always seem to put it aside during summer, you know. And then the rest of the time, they act like they're amongst the poor. So we're just one of you. So ridiculous. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is Jerry Nadler, apparently on the House floor. He was talking about two-year-olds needing to be masked. The next pandemic, we must use the government to force two-year-olds to wear masks. Listen to this.
Transmission of the disease to the next person. And the healthcare worker certainly ought to be required to be vaccinated. And when we have a pandemic like COVID 19 pandemic that we had,
yeah,
two-year-olds should have been required to wear masks. It would be child abuse for parents not to do that.
Oh, come
because
on.
There was no vaccination available.
He's never, I don't know, maybe he has met a two-year-old.
They don't like to keep masks on their face. I'm just saying that. Happy flag to everyone. And that concludes our program today. Tomorrow's Thursday. We're barreling towards the end of the week. We're almost there. We'll get there together. Sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.